Welcome to the Catch the Fire Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us, and we hope you're encouraged by this message.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Aaron. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's easy to forget that we have been saved from an everlasting fire of hell. We take it all too for granted. And you just see something as moving as that, for me, I'm like, Jesus, thank you so much that you triumphed over sin, you triumphed over me, you triumphed over all of us, you triumphed over sickness and death, you triumphed over the devil and the dominion of darkness, and you're alive, Jesus, and we're alive in you, and we're so grateful to you, our champion Savior, for who you are and all you've done and who you've made us to be in you. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew and chapter 28. I'm concluding our series in the Easter story, in the story of Jesus's life and death and burial and resurrection. And of course, ascension and glorification, but that will be really opening that part up on Pentecost. But today is the day that we celebrate and remember the resurrection of Jesus. But I don't really like calling it Resurrection Sunday in the sense that I don't want anyone, myself especially, to think that resurrection is just one Sunday in the year. Amen. Resurrection is Jesus Christ. It's not a thing, it's not something that's happened to Jesus or happened to you. He is the resurrection and the life. And that's one of my favorite things, is that Jesus is the only man who's ever lived who said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he died. And 3 days later, he smashed death. And just as he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, he was made alive. So let's pick up Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And in the parallel scripture in Luke 24, that Aaron read beautifully this morning, they came with their spices. They didn't come thinking that Jesus was alive. How do we know that? Because they came with their spices. They came thinking that they were going to add more spices to Jesus' dead body. They were looking for a dead man in a tomb. Most of the world still think of Jesus in that way. There are billions of people who acknowledge that Jesus died. What they don't know is that he's alive. See, I think part of that is that as Christians, we've celebrated the death of Jesus, but we haven't really celebrated the resurrection of Jesus on anything like the same level. Somehow we're obsessed with the notion of our sins being paid for, and that is true, but the resurrection is more than just our sins paid for. The resurrection is that we have been freed from sin and death forever. We are literally, in the eyes of God, perfect in Christ Jesus. We've been set free forever from sin in the heavens. Now, here on earth, that part of you, there's a war zone going on, in case you hadn't noticed. That war zone is between the kingdom of light and the dominion of darkness. But I'm so thrilled that Jesus didn't just defeat my sin. He defeated me, the sinner. He defeated you, the sinner. And he's made a way through him in giving us his life forever. He's made a way for us to live triumphantly on this earth for the remaining years, days, months, years of our lives that we have. We're not called to just somehow, like Billy was talking about, somehow just hold in there, hang in there, until finally at the end of our lives, we slip into glory and we're given a commendation for just hanging in there. That's not the life that Jesus has given us. It's not the life that the disciples, the early apostles, testified about. They were obsessed with the resurrection. They were absolutely obsessed with it. It was all they talked about, and it was all they demonstrated. And they knew and understood that the Holy Spirit in them and on them was the very same Spirit that was in and on Jesus, and that they were now representations of Jesus on the earth. And that's what somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, I want to the Lord to use me to burn into each of our hearts. That Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection in him. And he's alive in us and we're alive in him. And behold, verse 2, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that. Just sat on it. Just chill. His countenance was like lightning. Have you ever tried to look at lightning? You'll be blinded if you do. And his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid," to the women, sorry, "do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Just like he said he would do, he's risen from the dead. "And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." I love that so much. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You gotta love it that Jesus gave two women instructions for his 12 apostles. You gotta love it that he chose to reveal himself to two women first before he showed himself to any men. And by the way, that stone rolled away by the angel sitting on it, it wasn't so that Jesus could come out. It was so that we all, or not us, but those alive at that time, could look in and see that he's not there. It wasn't a stone that let him out. He came straight through that rock. And we know that. We know that to be true because in Luke 24 and other places where he revealed himself during those 40 days, when he showed and proved that he was risen from the dead, he didn't use doorways to walk in. In fact, even in rooms where they had locked the doors because they were frightened of the Romans and the Jews, the ancient Israelites, Jesus just came and stood among them. The Bible doesn't even say he walked through the walls, although a lot of Christians, we say that. It doesn't actually say he walked through the walls. It just says he appeared. Hi, how's it going, everybody? Nice to see you all. Yeah. I didn't even have to walk through that wall. I just am. Jesus is altogether lovely, and he's so different to who we think he is, everybody. He's magnificent in power and glory, and death could not hold him. Sin could not hold him. You could not hold him. The devil couldn't hold him. Nothing could hold him. Jesus is alive, and he's not limited by anything in all creation, including you and I. He didn't walk through us to come on the inside of us. He is on the inside of us. Although, I think it's an amazing analogy. But I want to take up this verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice! And I looked at that Greek word there, it is kairo. It's the same word that Jesus uses when he says that there will be more rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents than the 99 who didn't. It's the word to describe a gigantic heavenly party of celebration that is the Father dancing over the fact that you, a lost sheep, came home to Jesus. That Jesus brought you home. And Jesus says there's great rejoicing over one sinner who repents. That means that when you gave your life to Jesus and you repented of your sin, and I did, in that moment there was great rejoicing. That word is exactly what Jesus is saying to these two women, both called Mary. Mary, rejoice! Get super excited! We're like, the ESV says greetings. That's not the word. Greetings. Sanunkude kunalafia. You know, whatever your language is, it wasn't greetings. It was rejoice! Come on! Get excited! I've triumphed over death, over you, over the devil, over everything. I'm alive! Get excited! That's what he was saying. I want you to turn to Romans 1. I walked into the prayer room this morning, the pre-service prayer, and as we were praying, Aaron said, hey, everybody, I'm so full of joy. I'm just so full of joy today. And that's it. Are you full of joy? Because when we know the truth of who Jesus is and who we are in him, there is nothing else that fuels our joy. As human beings, we're looking for all kinds of things to fuel our joy. I want a job to fuel my joy. I want a husband to fuel my joy. I want a wife to fuel my joy. I want kids to fuel my joy. I want a new car to fuel my joy. I want. I. You know what happened to Billy? And when he said in that water that he started to weep like he weeps at a funeral, it's because it was his funeral. Those waters of baptism represent going into the water with Christ, into his death. Romans 5 and 6 talks about, Paul says, we died with him, and if we died with him, we were buried with him in the waters of baptism, and then we were raised with him. And this moment of baptism is the moment where it's no longer you and I alone. We are placed deep forever into Christ, symbolically, in those waters. But the reason why Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection is something that you can rejoice about and anchor every fiber of your living faith that he's given you and all of your hope. The reason for that is this, that the Father raised his Son from the dead, thereby declaring that 33 years of his life, he never sinned once, and he was perfect from beginning to end. The resurrection is the Father's evidence and verdict and endorsement that his Son Jesus is your worthy Savior and my worthy Savior. He's the only one who the Father truly, truly loves. And he loves us because we've received him and believed in him. And now he loves us with the same love that he loves Jesus with. That is epic. Romans 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, according to his humanity, he was of the seed of David, but declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The declaration of the Father over the Son when he went into the waters of John's baptism, when he was allowed himself to be baptized by John, when he went into the water, there was no declaration as he went into the waters symbolizing death, those icy Jordan waters. Believe me, I've been cold plunging for 3 months, 4 months, and it feels brutal, like your whole body is being sacrificed. And Jesus, when he went into those icy, it was springtime, when he went into those icy floodwaters of the Jordan, lowered down by John, into those waters he had his foretaste. I was about to preach in Moscow, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, the baptism of Jesus by John was Jesus's foretaste of what would happen to him 3.5 years later, when he actually died on the cross, when he actually was buried in the tomb, when he was actually raised from the dead by the Father and by the indestructible life of the Son of God that was him, as well as the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Romans 6:6 says that you've been raised by the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father who raised Jesus from the dead has raised you from the dead with him. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die but live. Why? Because I'm alive, you'll be alive. It was the fullness of the Trinity involved in Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, and being raised from the dead. And that Trinitarian reality was the Trinitarian reality when Jesus went into the waters of baptism by John. And the reason it was so important is that it's a symbol to you and me. It's a love message from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to you and to me. That it's not just Jesus that I will raise from the dead on the day of resurrection. It's you. I can't raise my Son without raising you once my Son has become you at the cross. Guys, when I don't even know where to start with this sermon. Where do you start when it's so epic? When Jesus said, it is finished, it was impossible for the Father to raise him from the dead without raising you and I from the dead with him. When he said, it is finished, you were finished. Did you know that God loved you so much, he killed you? And then he raised you in his Son, who he just loves better. Because that you that he made in his Son's image got tarnished, got ruined by sin. And his love, it was impossible for him to love you for eternity while you're in your union with sin. Otherwise, he would have allowed sin to become an eternal principle. And there's no way he could let that happen. because he's love. And so God, who was not surprised by Adam's sin and Eve's sin and suddenly thought, uh-oh, we better change plan. Quick, let's figure out redemption. No, they already knew. They already had it in mind that there would be a day when Jesus Christ would die on the cross for the sins of the world, that there would be a day when all the sin of the whole human race would come into him, that there would be a day when the entire human race of sinners would come into him, and that on the cross he would die, the last Adam, and wrap up sin, and wrap up Adam, and wrap up Duncan Smith, and wrap up you and I, and wrap up Adolf Hitler. That's right, you know better than him. Sorry if that's news to you, but actually, to the perfect God, you're just as wicked as every wicked person that's ever lived. And you needed saving. You needed a savior. You needed a perfect lamb because you are a stained lamb. You're a rotten sheep. But thank God, Jesus is a perfect lamb and he died for us all. He died for us all. When Jesus was lowered into the waters of baptism, there was no voice. When Jesus was under the water, having his first taste knocked off his feet, no doubt, and probably being held a little under the water, which is how I love to baptize people. We'll leave you just a few minutes, just a few seconds rather, just so that you know you're not just dead with Christ, you're actually buried with him. And that old man and that old woman that just so loves to justify themselves and so loves to be special and so loves to talk about everybody else and so loves to just be mean and happy and in love with Jesus and pray to get his attention and read the Bible so that you're special and be have the Holy Spirit come, really anointed and special. That special you needs to be held under the water to die with Christ, because he's special, not you and not I. But when John lifted him out of the water, covered in the water, soaking wet, drenched in our death, drenched symbolically in us, in all our sin, dripping with humanity symbolically, just like he would be 3.5 years later when he was lifted out of the tomb by the indestructible life that was his own in the Father, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, as we'll come to in just a moment. As he lifted up out of the water, that's when it happened, everybody. I said, that's when it happened. The voice, the heavens were torn open. They've never been shut, by the way. They've been open ever since over Jesus. That's why you live under an open heaven. That's why it's so amazing that that rotten you died with Christ, because that beautiful you that you were always meant to be, that God saw from the beginning of time, before time even began, he knew who you would be in him. That you, he's raised to life with him. And you're alive in him and you're beautiful and you're exceptional and you're amazing because your life and Jesus' life is one life now. And as he lifted him out of the water, the heavens were torn open and the voice, it says that the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead 3.5 years later, that same Spirit symbolically came and rested on Jesus. And then the voice spoke and said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he was saying that over you and over me. How do we know that? Because he didn't say it when he went in. He said it when he came out covered in us. He's actually saying to his son, he's sending a love message to the Savior of the world. Now that you've become flesh and blood and you are made in the likeness of all of them and all their sin, in that condition, I want you to know, son, I know that none of that sin is your own. I will be counting, and I am perfect in all my ways as your father, and I will keep a record, perfect record, that you never sinned And when all of their sin and all of them comes on you at the cross, I will have a record that none of it was yours. And that you lived a perfect life. 1 Peter 2:22. Jesus never sinned. And so because of that, the Father was able to take Jesus, who had never sinned, yet was filled with all of our sin and all of us, and in union with us, the Father was still able to raise him from the dead, so that not only was his Son now alive, but you and I are alive forever in his Son. And there is a body waiting for you that will be just like Jesus' body. And you notice that it says that the two women, they clung to his feet. They bowed down before him and clung to his feet. You know why it says that? Because the Lord wants you to know he's got feet. The Lord wants you to know that his resurrection was not a ghostly resurrection. He wants you to know that him rising from the dead was not just spiritual. It was flesh coming alive. It was bones living. And in the resurrection that will be yours because you believe in Jesus, you will have a body just like his. You'll be able to smell just like he can. You'll be able to taste and eat just like he did and can. I love that parallel passage in Luke 24. Goes on to say that he appeared to the disciples and they all thought he was a ghost because he just appeared and they're, oh, it's a ghost! And he's like, hey, come here, guys. Don't be afraid. Come and touch me. Touch me. Handle me. Come and feel me. Feel me, air. Feel me. And when the disciples touched, flocked around him and touched Jesus' resurrected body, it felt just like Aaron is feeling my hand. Which is pretty astounding considering he just came, hi, how are you doing? Good to see you, into a locked room. Pretty epic. You're going to have a body just like that. Jacob's going to look tall even forever. Some of you are like, wait a minute. What does that mean for me? That's just a joke, everybody. That was a heightist joke. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Then Jesus, really wanting to drill it home to them, says, give me something to eat. Because you see, a ghost can't eat a physical fish. So he takes the fish and he eats it. But you know, I thought about it. So I got a bit of a sweet tooth. It says, and they gave him honeycomb. And he ate that too. He ate a Cadbury's crunchy bar. And I reckon it was English. He literally ate honeycomb, everybody. That's what it says right there in the Word of God. Read it for yourself. We don't have time to turn to it. Read it for yourself. I promise you it says he ate broiled fish, which is delicious, and honeycomb, which is even more delicious, a nice little dessert to finish it off. And he did it right in front of them. Why? Because he wanted them to know for all eternity, you're going to have a body that can enjoy fish and enjoy honeycomb. And calorie free. No more worry. No more, if you eat too much sugar, you could get cancer. No. No, there's nothing like that in the resurrection. And if you're sitting here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you are on your way to hell. You will not have a resurrection into eternal glory. You have a resurrection into eternal condemnation. And it's not my fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not even God's fault. It's your fault. Because you had this time in your life to surrender to Jesus. And you chose not to. And he will never violate your will when you don't want him for this life. to have to force you to spend eternity with him. Why would he do that? That's not love. If you don't want him for this life, he's not going to force you to have him for eternity. You see, you can't go to heaven and be in heaven without Jesus. He'll be there. So if you don't want him in this life, you're not going to want him for eternity either. If you don't like Jesus in this world, you're not going to like him in the next. And he's not going to force himself on you. But it will be your ignorance. It will be your decision. It will be your choice. And you'll have all of eternity to think about that choice. In a place that God created to judge sin and keep sin away from heaven. It's called hell. And it won't be God's fault, guys. We're each responsible for our own choices. God made a perfect choice. God sent his beloved son into this world. God sent his son into this world out of a choice that was a loving choice. God, in his love, sent his lovely, beloved son for you and I, that if we believe in him, we will not perish. We will not spend eternity in hell, but instead we will be united with a brand new resurrected body, and we will spend eternity with God in the heavens. That's the new heaven and the new earth, in an amazing body that you can enjoy on a whole nother level, all the senses. On a whole nother, you'll be able to fly. You'll be able to go places at the speed of thought. You won't have to worry about upgrades from economy to business. There's going to be none of that. You want to go somewhere in the universe, you'll be able to go there like that by the speed of thought. You can either have that, or you can spend eternity burning in a fire in union with your sin. Which one do you want? It's really not that much of a challenging decision, but somehow we make it because we're so obsessed with ourselves. You know what the cross is? The cross is an eye with a slash through it. It's a symbol that says Jesus died and you died with him. And for those who died with him and believe in his death and believe in his resurrection, he is the resurrection and the life forever. And you get to live with him forever. I want to finish with this. There was a moment in the history of the ancient Israelites when they were on their way out of Egypt and into the promised land that they were stuck in a wilderness for 40 years. When they were coming to the end of the, by their own decision and fault, I might add. And when they got to the end of those 40 years, they were doing what they somehow were addicted to doing, the same as you and I. They were grumbling about how God wasn't giving them what they wanted. That's generally what we're like. And it says that they even started to grumble about the manna. We hate this despicable manna. Well, the manna was a type of Jesus to them. And they were despising their future Messiah without realizing it. But God didn't miss it. And he allowed snakes to come out, and they started biting them, left, right, and center, poisonous snakes. We have them in Nigeria. We call them the two-step snake. You get bitten, you take two steps, you fall into the sand and die. Those snakes started biting them. The poison went into them. They cried out. They started dying. The ones that were alive started crying out to Moses, "Moses, do something." Moses cried out to God and said, "God, do something." God turned around to Moses and said, "No, you do something. Make a fiery serpent. Put it up on a pole." You can read it in Numbers 21, 5 to 9. Put it up on a pole. And whoever, in the moment they're bitten by a snake, looks at that snake on the pole, they will live and not die. They'll be instantly healed. Wow, what a amazing type of the future cross of Jesus. But it says that Moses made a serpent of bronze, and he put the serpent on a pole, and sure enough, whoever looked at that serpent of bronze on a pole, in the event that they got bitten by a snake, they came alive. They lived. They were instantly healed. And you know, that would be a nice story And we could just leave it there in the Old Testament, apart from the fact that Jesus mentions it in John 3:14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so too when the Son of Man is lifted up, whoever believes in him, whoever looks at him, whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. He's likening himself to a bronze snake? Are you kidding? Like, why didn't he choose to have like a... Why didn't he choose in Moses' day to make a bronze man on a pole, like a Catholic crucifix? Why a snake? Good question. I was pondering that too one day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because that's what my son looked like when he became one with you. When all of your sin came into him, when his perfect life on the cross became a gigantic vacuum cleaner of all sin, he... I'm going to use this as an analogy. It's an old Watchman Nee analogy. Could I have someone to help me? Justin, could you just come and hold the Bible for me real quick because we're running out of time. Just run. Okay, hold that there, right? At the cross, hold it out like he's on the cross. You're the cross and here's Jesus. Don't walk backwards, just stand there. Here's Jesus. Sometimes I can come across a little fierce. It's just that I'm intense, don't worry. And you don't have to be like me. Yeah, and here's, I want you to just see for a moment to illustrate that this represents Jesus. After all, he is the Word of God. And this is kind of neat, this one, because it's actually goat skin. Okay, that was a bad joke. At the cross, the Bible is very clear that Jesus, the perfect man, died on the cross. This is the first time in all of history that a perfect human being is dying. Every other human being, billions of us, we died because we sinned. He never sinned. So therefore, because he's on the cross, opened up with all of his wounds gaping, the side that Esperanza was singing so beautifully about, that side was opened up. Why? Because he became, his body that was dying became a gigantic vacuum cleaner, and here's you, in a moment in time, and it wouldn't matter if you were the first baby that was, well, if you were Adam created or the last baby that will be born just before Jesus comes back, it doesn't matter. You are one of those leaves just there, one of those pieces of paper, your life. And suddenly, in that moment that was outside of time and space, you came into Christ. The Father placed you into the Son, 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is by him, God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us our wisdom, our righteousness, our redemption, and our holiness. Therefore, let him who boasts, boast only in the Lord. You see, you're in him. The moment you believe, you're in him. What took place 2,000 years ago is now your life. And because you're in him, in that moment, he who knew no sin was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, so that you could become the righteousness of God in him. You, in him, and you, now one. So completely one that all the just punishment of all the sin of the whole world came on Jesus. The fire of God fell, like Jess was preaching on Friday night, Good Friday. Jesus drank the cup of wrath. In that moment, tin and copper became bronze. You see, it wasn't an accident that Moses was inspired by the Holy Spirit to make that snake out of tin and copper, melted together in fire, becomes bronze. And it was a bronze serpent because Jesus and you became one. The bronze and the tin and the copper became one. And in that condition of oneness with you, he said, "It is finished." Breathed his last, and then said the greatest words of faith ever to the Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Now that I've become one with the sin of the world, that I've become one with all the sinners, in this condition, I trust that you'll raise me from the dead. And that's why the women, that's why it says they clung to his feet. You see, because if you go to Revelation, you'll see that his feet were like polished bronze. Why does the Bible take time to tell us that? The Bible takes time to tell us that so that we understand Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection is our death, our burial, and our resurrection in him. And we are eternally in the Father, in the Son, by the Spirit. So stand up, everybody. I want to end with this. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. That resurrection was so powerful because it included you. That resurrection is the testimony, the guarantee of the Father that you are alive in Christ Jesus. Right now, it's your spirit man that's alive. But that resurrection of Jesus, him, all the story, the accounts, the testimony, the testify, is all so that you would know the body that Jesus has is your future that you're going to have in him. And on Pentecost, we'll talk about his glorified body, because his glorified body is an even better place that he's in now, that you and I are going to be in him. But for now, let's get excited about the reality that if you've given your life to Jesus, you're alive in Jesus. You're not going to die. You're not going to go to hell. Your sin has already been taken to hell by Jesus, but you're righteous in his righteousness. You're holy in his holiness. The same spirit of holiness that raised you from the dead, that raised him from the dead, is raising you from the dead right now in him. If you're in this room and you have never given your life to Jesus, I don't want you to leave this place without me giving you an opportunity for you to make the best decision that you could ever make. And it won't be because I am compelling you. It won't be because God's compelling you, although he has been chasing you from before time began. And he created you to know him. But if you're in this room and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is your moment of opportunity. This is the moment of eternal separation between you and your sin and eternal union between you and Jesus. So that when you die, you and Jesus are still one and you're alive in him forever in heaven. I want to ask everyone in this room, out of respect for each other, just to close your eyes. You don't have to necessarily bow your head, but just close your eyes out of respect for each other. And if you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you would like to do that, I can't think of a better day than today after a message that I've just preached, where literally you no longer have any excuse ever for the rest of your life. You have been presented with the good news of Jesus. You're either going to go, you are going to rise from the dead after you die. But you're either going to go to an eternal heaven with Jesus and all of us, or an eternal condemnation with your sin. This is your moment. I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you sincerely want to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and if you sincerely believe that the Father raised him from the dead, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, you are saved. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. You are my Lord and my Savior. You always have been, but today, in this moment right now, I acknowledge it, I believe it, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Just say that. Jesus is Lord. I acknowledge today that I've really messed my life up. I've sinned greatly. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against others. And most especially, I've sinned against you. And I deserve an eternity in hell. But I thank you with all my heart that you gave yourself a perfect life that only you could give the Father. You gave it for me. And I thank you with all of my heart.
I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior today. I ask that you'd come and fill my whole life, body, soul, and spirit with your life. Make me one with you forever. Let that union that happened at the cross be the union now forever. Me in you, and you in me. In Jesus' name. And I'll follow you for the rest of my life. From now on, I'm yours, as you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to wave your hand. Just wave your hand right up high. Just give it high, nice and high. I want to be able to see it. Good. Thank you very much. Good. 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 Well done. Good. That's so good. So good. Here's what I'm gonna ask each of you that raise your hands. I'm gonna ask you to share with somebody near you or with the person who brought you. Share with them that you gave your life to Jesus and you're now born again, born of the Spirit, just like Billy in the Testify video. All right, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us. There are so many opportunities to grow, connect, and be encouraged. To learn more, visit ctfraleigh.com and follow us on social media. Thank you so much for being part of the family. We are so thankful for you.